I'm going to have to get back to Downing Street. I should have been there an hour ago, said Kingsley finally, after a last sweeping gaze at the sky. Let me know when they're back. Lupin nodded. With a wave to the others, Kingsley walked away into the darkness toward the gate. Harry thought he heard the faintest pop as Kingsley disapparated just beyond the burrow's boundaries. Mr. and Mrs. Weasley came racing down the back steps, Ginny behind them. Both parents hugged Ron before turning to Lupin and Tonks.
Thank you, said Mrs. Weasley, for our sons. Don't be silly, Molly, said Tonks at once.
How's George? Asked Lupin.
What's wrong with him? Piped up Ron. He's lost...
But the end of Mrs. Weasley's sentence was drowned in a general outcry. A thestral had just soared into sight and landed a few feet from them. Bill and Fleur slid from its back, windswept but unhurt.
Bill, thank God, thank God!
Mrs. Weasley ran forward, but the hug Bill bestowed upon her was perfunctory. Looking directly at his father, he said, Mad-Eye's dead. Nobody spoke. Nobody moved. Harry felt as though something inside him was falling through the earth, leaving him forever.
We saw it, said Bill.
Fleur nodded, tear tracks glittering on her cheeks in the light from the kitchen window.
It happened just after we broke out of the circle. Mad-Eye and Dung were close by us. They were heading north, too. Voldemort, he can fly, went straight for them. Dung panicked. I heard him cry out. Mad-Eye tried to stop him, but he disapparated. Voldemort's curse hit Mad-Eye full in the face. He fell backward off his broom and... There was nothing we could do, nothing. We had half a dozen of them on our own tail.
Bill's voice broke. Of course you couldn't have done anything, said Lupin. They all stood looking at each other. Harry could not quite comprehend it. Mad-Eye dead? It could not be. Mad-Eye, so tough, so brave, the consummate survivor. At last it seemed to dawn on everyone, though nobody said it, that there was no point waiting in the yard anymore. And in silence, they followed Mr. and Mrs. Weasley back into the burrow and into the living room, where Fred and George were laughing together.
What's wrong?
Said Fred, scanning their faces as they entered.
What's happened? Who's...
Mad-Eye, said Mr. Weasley. Dead.
The twins' grins turned to grimaces of shock. Nobody seemed to know what to do. Tonks was crying silently into a handkerchief. She had been close to Mad-Eye, Harry knew, his favourite and his protégé at the Ministry of Magic. Hagrid, who had sat down on the floor in the corner where he had most space, was dabbing at his eyes with his tablecloth-sized handkerchief. Bill walked over to the sideboard and pulled out a bottle of fire whiskey and some glasses.
Here,
he said, and with a wave of his wand, he sent 12 full glasses soaring through the room to each of them, holding the 13th aloft.
Mad-Eye!
Mad-Eye,
they all said, and drank.
Mad-Eye,
echoed Hagrid, a little late, with a hiccup. The fire whiskey seared Harry's throat. It seemed to burn feeling back into him, dispelling the numbness and sense of unreality, firing him with something that was like courage.
So Mundungus disappeared, said Lupin, who had drained his own glass in one.
The atmosphere changed at once. Everybody looked tense, watching Lupin, both wanting him to go on, it seemed to Harry, and slightly afraid of what they might hear.
I know what you're thinking, said Bill. And I wondered that too, on the way back here, because they seemed to be expecting us, didn't they? But Mundungus can't have betrayed us. They didn't know there would be 7 Harrys. That confused them the moment we appeared. And, in case you've forgotten, it was Mundungus who suggested that little bit of skullduggery. Why wouldn't he have told them the essential point? I think Dung panicked. It's as simple as that. He didn't want to come in the first place. But Mad-Eye made him, and you-know-who went straight for them. It was enough to make anyone panic.